You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
You know, I got something just real basic I want to minister tonight, something real simple. Not anything you probably don't know, but it's probably something you need to hear again. Are you out there? You know, I find a lot of times really it's not the complicated stuff that we forget, although we do forget probably a lot of that, but it's the simple things that we let slip that we know to do. You know, we don't need to know 500 other things to make it through life, to have a better life, to have a better marriage, and 15 more steps and 25 more reasons, you know, and so on and so forth. We actually probably know all we need to know. We're just not doing it. You know, the Bible says, be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. And so you can know the word in the sense that you've heard it and you could quote it and somebody could tell you, but it doesn't do any good if you don't do it. And if you don't really grab it, and if you don't really believe it, and if you don't really confess it and stand on it, it's not going to help you. And that's daily maintenance is what that is, really, on simple truths, simple things. You'll find yourself slipping with the flow of the world if you're not careful. And it's really easy to do. You're not a bad person. You know, and they're not bad people out there not coming to church and not standing on the word and not believing God. There are some good people that just, you know, get out of the habit. Hello? I mean, habit is a tremendous force. When you think of the force and the power of habit, I mean, that's probably a greater force than truth. Now, stay with me when I say that. Because truth doesn't do you any good if you don't form a habit of adhering to it, yielding to it, and listening to it. In fact, a lie, people believe a lie because they hear it enough, they act on it enough, they listen to it enough people tell them the lie. Just out of habit, out of hearing it over and over and over, the force of habit will just completely overrule reasoning and logic and truth. And a lie will take the place of truth because of not maintaining the truth, not having a habit of hearing the truth. You know, the Bible talks about, forsake not the assembling yourselves together as a man of some is, even more so as you see the day approaching. Well, that wasn't just idle talk, and God wasn't trying to just keep us busy doing something. He wanted us to get together regularly because we would let slip things that we wouldn't, you know, if we don't hear them over and over, then we're going to let them slip. Hello. I find most of the time I'm in the middle of a mess, and I'll think, wow, you know, I hadn't even really stood on God's word here. And I know to stand on God's word, but I kind of let it go a while. I didn't really just get aggressive, and I didn't come against it right off the bat. And then a day or two went by, and 3 or 4 days, and then before long I'm in the middle of it. And I'm thinking, God, what is going on here? And I realize, well, you know, I really hadn't come against it. And yet I know to do that. Are you out there? So it's only what you do that's going to help you, and it's only the truth that you, you know, institute into your life that's going to affect you and get the result of it. If you want the result of these promises, although they be simple, although you know them and you can quote them, you're going to have to somehow, some way, institute them into your life. See yourself the way God sees you. Say what God says about you. Get in a habit of talking the word in the middle of situations when things happen and crisis hit. Stop, grab a hold of the word, and start saying what God says. Now, that's not deep. That's very simple. But generally, I find in my life, that's where I miss it. How many of y'all would join me in that? You know, we don't need some deep, heavy revelation, although I like them, you know, but it's a simple thing. So I want to teach something simple tonight about how God sees you, and then ultimately you'd ask yourself the question, do you see yourself that way? And talk about how God's view of you in one sense, what he says about you, because God says some specific things about you. I don't know that we always buy into it, though. We may give it lip service and say, yes, I believe the Bible. But God says some pretty astounding things about us, things that we quote and we hear all the time, and we might even agree to it, but I wonder how much we're really standing on that. We really see ourselves that way. You know, a lot of people are not comfortable in their own skin. They're not comfortable about their future. They're not comfortable about who they are. I think a lot of us as Christians have an identity crisis. We don't know who we are. We think we do, but we don't really act that way. You know, we don't act confident. We don't act in faith, in many cases. We get rattled real easy. Hello. We get to worrying. You know, I saw a sign. I mentioned it Sunday. I thought it was so good. If you don't rely on God after you pray, then you lied to God when you prayed. Now, that's a strong statement, but really that's the truth. If we pray, then that means we believe. Or why pray? And if we really pray in faith, knowing God means what He says, then we will rely on Him after we pray. So once you turn it over to God, hallelujah, you need to square your shoulders back and hold your head up straight, amen, and just fight life through, hallelujah. Know it's going to turn out all right. That most everything in life is temporary. Did you know that? Most everything in life is temporary. Most every crisis, most every pain, most every challenge, most every battle is temporary. In fact, only God is eternal. And only His Word will last forever. And I tell you, as far as eternity is concerned, it's looking pretty good for us. Yeah. I've read the back of the book. What's going to be eternal and last, and what's concrete and forever and ever, is good. See, evil's not eternal. Good is. And I'd step out there and say, even in this life, a lot of those bad things that happen, and we do run into crisis, and there's going to be challenges, and I understand that, but those things are temporary. The good far outweighs the bad if we're believing God and trusting God. And then ultimately, it'll all be done away with. When we get to heaven, Betty, there will be no more fire ants when we get to heaven. Betty told me the other day, she said, you always say no more chiggers and red bugs and mosquitoes, and but you never mention fire ants. I said, I'm going to put that in the list. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 15, turn there if you will. We're going to go over some verses you know real well. We might just hit one here and go to another and hit it. But I want us to stop and think about it. When we read this verse, you can quote these verses. You've heard me say them over and over. But sometimes we need to be reminded. You know, I don't think we need to be taught so much as we need to be reminded. I think it was, who was that? Ben Johnson. He was a contemporary of Shakespeare. Y'all remember old Ben? He went to a boys' home right on the River Thames in London. Brent and I saw that. We went down to River Thames one time. We were in London. They were pointing out different places. And over they said, oh, there's the boys' home. That's where Ben Johnson was raised up. And over there's the restaurant that Charles Dickens wrote several of his novels in that. And there's the Rose. That's where Shakespeare performed. I mean, you're just going down the Thames thinking, history everywhere you look. It was just amazing. But Ben Johnson said this. He said, you must teach as if you taught them not, and bring out things unknown as if things forgot. And I thought that was pretty good. Now, it was either him or Alexander Pope, so I don't want to plagiarize here. I think it was Ben. Sounds like Alexander Pope after I said it. But you teach things. The best teaching is when I teach things that you just forgot. And then you go, yeah, of course, that's right. I see that. I got that. And bring out things maybe they were, you know, on the back shelf somewhere. They're kind of unknown, but they really weren't. They were there. You've heard it before. But you just forgot. Are you with me? Teach things as if they were just things forgot. So you heard it enough to where finally it comes alive. I love Revelation because that's the way it really comes to me. When I get a hold of something and really burns inside of me, it's not the first time I heard it. Now, we act like that. We'll go, wow, that is awesome. But no, you've heard it enough now to where you got it. You finally got it, see. That's why we need to remind ourselves and review things and go over things, repeat things. That's how you learn in any venue. I don't care where you are. If you're in kindergarten or you're in college, they go over and over and over stuff, and they test you on it. Why? Because repetition is how we learn. And so it's no different in God. We have to repeat these things over and over and over. And then they go, wow, yes, I see them. Well, you didn't just see them. You saw them a long time ago, but you didn't understand it. You finally saw it enough now where you understood it. You were approaching it for a while, but finally got close enough to where you could recognize it. And things become clearer by approach. Amen? 1 Corinthians 15. Notice what it says. You know this. 57th verse, all the way to the end of the chapter. 1 Corinthians 15, 57. But thanks be to God, I'm reading out a New King James Version, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, somebody. Are you out there? Well, we ought to be thanking God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. See, I am and you are victorious through our Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, how did you get that? through God. God gave us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus died for our sins 2,000 years ago, but he died for our sins 2,000 years ago. He rose again and, you know, actually conquered hell, death, the grave for you and for me. And God has given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The context of this is talking about the resurrection body. We're talking about getting a new body. When we leave this earth, we're going to go into the next life. Hallelujah. And we're going to have a brand new body. And Jesus got us that victory in a moment, in a twinkle of an eye. Oh, I love that. We shall not all sleep. We shall be changed. This corrupt will put on incorruption. This mortal put on immortality. Death will be swallowed up of life. And he goes on down and says, thanks be to God who gives us the victory. Everybody say, give us. You didn't earn the victory. He gave it to you. Are you with me? You weren't smart enough to get it. He just gave it to you. You received it. Yes. You know, I remember I was in India one time. I landed in Bombay, flew down to Trivandrum, the very tip of India. And that state is called the state of Kerala on the western side. And I went from Trivandrum to, you know, places you'd know, Mavalakara, you know, Pathankot, and Kochi and Alapi and Trichur. You know those places. You've been there probably, but sure. But I went up into the mountains of Manimuli. These are real places. And preached there in the mountains of Manimuli. One place I went and preached at, I'm trying to remember exactly where it was. Anyway, it doesn't matter. You wouldn't know anyway. But we went as far as we could in a car, and then we got in this Jeep. We got into this teakwood plantation, just mountains everywhere, you know. It's beautiful in southern India. It may have a different concept of India, but it's real tropical in southern India. There are lots of people, though. They're everywhere, all up and down the roads, everywhere. And they have teakwood plantations, and they actually use elephants to haul those trees out. It's just amazing. They still have them at that time when I was there in 1980. We went as far as we could in the car. We got in this Jeep, and then we went as far as we could in this Jeep and crossed a couple of streams, going through these different mountains and mountainous region. And finally, we came to this river, and we parked, and then we got in this canoe, and we went across this river, and then we climbed up the side of this mountain, and there was a thatch roof building there. They had church, and there was people everywhere. I mean, everywhere you go, there's people. And I remember preaching there that night. I was just preaching on receiving, that God's a giver, but you have to be a receiver. God really can't give to you if you don't receive from him. It's a real simple message on faith. You know, God so loved the world, he gave. But that's not to you unless you receive. Because you have to complete the act of God giving by receiving what he gave. And I had a simple message there. It was really neat. I had this microphone they had hanging down through here, and they had lights hanging from these poles. They were just thatch roof, village, open air, you know. And boy, I want to tell you, a building like this, they could put 1,000 people in here because they would all be sitting on the ground, scrunched up on the concrete for hours. It's amazing. They take a building half this size and they could probably put 500 people in it. It's nothing like us. We have to have chairs and space and all that stuff. And they just sit there and they'll listen to you. They want you to go for hours. None of this 30-minute, 45-minute stuff. Oh, no, 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 no. In fact, if you go about an hour and a half, they want somebody to get up after you and go another hour and a half. I've done a lot of that. I preached 3.5 hours one time. Yeah, that's where Terry Mize gets that. If you wonder, when Terry comes, he's always so long. He preaches in all these places, and they want you to go a long, long time. So lest you think I forgot my story, I was there preaching. And their electricity's different than ours. So every time I'd say something, it'd amplify on the through the microphone, the lights would go dim. And then they would, because it pulled the current the way they had it set up, it would pull on the the speakers would pull on the power, and the lights would dim a little, and they'd come back up bright. And I went through the whole sermon that way. It was amazing. But there was these little Hindu ladies at the back with little dots in their foreheads, just patiently listening. And I used this example of, I had a glass of water there, and I held it out. I said, you know, if I gave you this glass of water, the deal wouldn't be finished till you reached out and received it. And I said, you have to receive what God offers to you to complete the deal. And that's your part. And those Hindu ladies, when I gave that invitation, gave their heart to Jesus that night. I never will forget it. And that was a big step for a Hindu to give their life to Jesus. Their family disowns them, and they really change their name. most every Christian I knew over there had some kind of biblical name. You know, Abraham, Sarah, John, David. I mean, because they would change their names. Because if their family considered they were dead, they had just died because they denied the faith of the Hindu people. It's a lot bigger deal than it is here. But the point was valid, and it stands today even. This business that God given us the victory, if you want to consummate this and seal this deal, then you need to start saying you are victorious. You need to say, I receive that. No matter what happens, no matter what comes across my path, my God has given me the victory through my Lord Jesus Christ. And the next verse says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Don't you give up. Don't you quit. Don't you throw the towel in. Don't you back up. You stand up and you go forward because God has given you the victory. It may not look like it. You may not feel like it. You may have had a bad day. I don't know. You may think you're spinning your wheels, but that's a lie. God says he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You keep doing what God says you're supposed to do. You don't stop going forward. You are immovable. You be steadfast, and you always abound in the work of the Lord and what God's telling you. You know, there's going to be bad days. Write it down. Amen. It's just going to happen. That's just life. We're in a fallen world. There's going to be challenges. There's going to be times you're going to have to fight. There's going to be times you can coast. But quitting is not an option. And the reason is, God's given us the victory. Why would you ever quit when you've won? We've won this deal. Oh, hallelujah. Man, I love it. You know, I'm not saying to expect trouble, but I mean in one sense that you should expect opposition. You should expect the devil to not like what you're doing. You should expect things to not always line up and go right in one sense, because we're fighting, but they've got to line up, they've got to get right, and those challenges will be removed, those obstacles will be removed, and that enemy's going to have to lay down, because we're going to keep coming. There may always be an enemy, the Bible says there will be. There may be some times where it seems a little tougher than others, but you know what? We win this deal. We've got the victory. That's my motivation. That's your motivation. That keeps us going. That'll keep us going through the tough times. Because this, you know, just like I said earlier, this challenge, this crisis, this obstacle, temporary. Not going to be like this forever. We win this deal. This bad day will pass. Brother Osteen used to always say that. He said, bad things just come to pass. They don't come to stay. It came to pass. You know, he would say that. And think of it that way. But what you have to do is get a hold of what God says. And you have to remind yourselves of what God says about you. And then you have to buy into what God says. Amen. Instead of what you're feeling and what the world says. When you feel like a loser, when you feel like a failure, when you feel like you're defeated and you're not going to be able to make it, hello. When you feel like your future doesn't look good, you know, or it doesn't look good even in the natural, you have to remind yourself that's not what God says. And God's got the final word on this deal. He says, I am victorious. Therefore, I am victorious. Well, who died and put you in charge? Jesus? Jesus did. He died for me, and I am victorious through Christ. That's what it says. Amen. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. So I will just be abounding. I will just be immovable. I will just be steadfast in the work of the Lord. I know as I do this, that my labor is not in vain in the Lord. Nothing you do according to the word, on the basis of the word, nothing you do for the Lord is in vain. Whew. Good stuff. Amen. 2 Corinthians. That's 1 Corinthians 15, 57, 58. Look at 2 Corinthians, the second chapter. Oh, hallelujah. Now, y'all, how many of y'all heard those verses? You knew you've heard that verse. Quoted it yourself. Well, it's time we believed it. New concept. We ought to actually believe it. I have to ask myself that sometimes. You know, I'm saying it. Do I really believe that? Sometimes I don't act like I believe it. I need to start acting like I do believe it. Sometimes I'm not, maybe my attitude's not lined up with faith in that verse. Well, that's when I need to change my attitude, I need to lose the tude and start believing God. Thank God for the Bible. Aren't you glad? Where would a carpenter be without a tape measure? I can't imagine. I can't imagine building anything without a tape measure. I mean, as a carpenter, that's just standard fare. You got to have a tape. It's like an arm. It's there. You got to have a tape measure because you have to make things fit, and you have to make sure they're the right size, and you go cut stuff and you build stuff, and it's got to go a certain place. It's got to be a certain height. And see, the tape measure doesn't lie. And you are constantly checking that tape measure. Constantly. I remember I built a deck out there. Dr. Galloway has got at his house. Years ago, I built a deck around his pool, and it's several steps down, so on. And Sam, I can't remember, he was a teenager. Yeah, oh, he had to be. I think he was in school, and he came out and helped me a little bit. And he kept going, man. He said, I just can't believe how many times you measure things. He said, I didn't know carpenters measured things so many times. I said, well, that's why it looks right when you get through. I mean, you know, you just. You have to, but it just blew him away. I remember that he learned something that day. And I was constantly checking, double checking and measuring, you know, and cutting things. And of course that deck was cut all kind of funny ways anyway, in different levels. But the thing that stuck out in his mind was how many times I had measured and how many times I pulled that tape measure out and double checked things and cut and then, you know, measured again and then put it in there and so on and so forth. This is our measuring stick. And I can guarantee you, if you don't constantly check, you're going to get out of whack. You'll get off square. Something's not going to fit. It's not going to fit right. Your life's not fitting right. Well, maybe you didn't measure right, okay? Maybe you didn't measure at all. Or maybe you're using the wrong tape measure. That could be the case too, you know. Except no substitutes, the Bible. Use the original and measure your life out. And when you do, you'll begin to see, oh, wait a minute, oh, what am I getting down for? I've got the victory through Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, Jesus paid the price for all this. I don't have to put up with this. Woo! 2 Corinthians 2. Notice what it says in the 14th verse. Now thanks be to God. Now see, it sounds very similar. Now thanks be to God who always leads us into triumph. In Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of His knowledge in every place. I love that. Man, you can have a camp meeting on that, because as we triumph, the knowledge of God is diffused, as it were, or sprayed like out of a perfume bottle. The fragrance of God is made known. The fragrance of His knowledge in every place is known when we win. When we triumph. Not when we go under. When we go under, people don't see God. They think they do, and people will blame God, and they'll say God did it. But here it says, when we triumph, the knowledge of God, like a fragrance, is diffused. People see Him in victory. They don't see Him in defeat. That's why if you're poor, you need to get out of poverty. It's not a sin to be poor, but it's a sin to want to stay there. If you're sick, you need to believe God and get healed. Get someone to pray for you. That's what the Scripture says. Is any sick among you? Let them call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him. Let them anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. The Lord shall raise him up. If he's committed any sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another. Pray ye one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man subject to like passions, just like us. He prayed, let it rain not, and it rained not. Then he prayed that it rained, and it rained. Hallelujah. See, God is seen in victory. He's seen in answered prayer. It's not always just about us. It's bigger than us. I need to win for you. You need to win for me. I need to see you win. Because when I see you win, I see God. Isn't that right? So when we talk about this kind of, you know, just what it's like, it was a Bless Me Club, or just a motivational speaker, just trying to tell everybody, be blessed, you win. Well, it's bigger than that. That's part of that. Yeah, I believe you should be blessed. I think the Bible's very plain. He wants you blessed. He sure doesn't want you to go to hell. He wants you to go to heaven. He takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. That's what the Scripture says. God doesn't get pleasure out of people losing, even the wicked, when they lose. He doesn't like that. He's not rejoicing over the wicked that lose. He takes no pleasure in that. He wants them to repent. He wants them to come to Him. And there's rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that's saved, not over someone that's lost. Rejoicing is when we win. That's what they rejoice in heaven when we win. Woo! Because He's made known. His saving health is made known among the nations. Psalm 67 says, "Cause your face to shine upon me that your saving health may be known among the nations." Healing makes Him known. When His face is turned toward us, victory comes, healing comes, and He is manifested and made known. And that's when people glorify God all through the Scripture. When the woman was healed, people glorified God. When the man sick of the palsy took his bed and walked, they glorified God. They glorified God when Peter and John healed that man's lame at the gate, beautiful, in Acts the 3rd chapter. They came running and glorifying God because now God is seen. He's seen in our victories. He's seen in our answered prayers. He's not seen in our down days. He's seen in us overcoming those down days. Down days do happen. Tragedy does come. But God is seen in the victory. And let's don't get confused about that. I mean, God's not giving you a bad day and then turning around and giving you a good day. He's not beating you up, then healing you. Don't you pick up the abused wife syndrome. We're Christians. Are you out there? Because really, that's what a lot of churches are like. They just let God beat on them. They think He's beating on them. And then they thank Him when He beats on them, and they thank Him when He does something good, and they thank Him when they lose something. They thank Him when He's not doing the bad. He's good. Hallelujah. Yeah. And we don't need to propagate that lie. We don't, as Christians of all people, we don't need to go telling people that God's doing bad things to them. We need to tell them God will help them if they'll repent. God will, you know, help them make it. Give them the victory. He'll lead them. Well, God just led me to go through this thing. God led me to go under. God led me to lose. God led me to this. No, it says He leads us in
triumph.
What? In triumph. Wow, I like that. So if we'll listen to God, He'll lead us in triumph. He'll show us a way out. He'll show us where the gate is. And the gate is open. What are you doing in a prison?
Amen.
Now, thanks be to God. 2 Corinthians 2:14. This is what we're thanking God for. And this is what Paul thanks God for. And this is what Jesus does the same thing. And this is what we see in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, book of Acts. We see it in Romans all the way through to Revelation. We see people thanking God for good things, not bad things. We see people thanking God for victory, for winning, not losing. Now, have you ever lost? Sure, we've all lost. I know that. You know, you cut us, we bleed. I understand that. You know, we've had tragedy. We hadn't always done right. We hadn't always had everything go our way. I understand that. Not necessarily always our fault. Sometimes it was just the devil. Sometimes it's just Adam's sin 6,000 years ago. But let's don't be pointing that bony finger at God, because it's not God's fault that Adam sinned. And it's not God's fault the devil rebelled. And it's not God's fault that people hate you. In fact, you want to bring God into it? Well, let's do that. Let's bring God into it. Who always leads us into triumph.
Amen.
Who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what my tape measure says. What are you getting when you pull yours out? I mean, what does it measure out here? I mean, are you getting the same thing? You need to check your tape measure, make sure. Are you with me? In line with the Bible. Thanks be God who always leads us into triumph in Christ. Well, that, now see, there's a mouthful. Leads us. That means we've got to follow. I have found in my life there have been times, rarely that there have been times that I didn't quite follow all the instructions. Maybe once or twice. I don't know. You know. Are you out there? And sometimes it is our fault. But when we follow His leading, He leads us into triumph. So if you'll get right with God, here's some incentive. And I didn't put the carrot on the stick. God did. If you'll get right with God, God will help you straighten your life out. He'll help you get back on your feet again. He'll lead you into victory. Physically, financially, maritally, emotionally, are you with me? Spiritually. But see, we have to follow Him. But make no mistake about it, He will lead you out of that mess. Because that's what He does. He leads us into triumph. He leads us into victory. Woo! Man, that's just, to me, just awesome. I believe that. I believe serving God pays. I believe year by year it pays. I believe every year it goes by that I stack up on this, it's for my benefit. And I don't care if you just started, just keep with, stay with it, because every day pays. Every day's another day to stack up in your favor, to tip the scales in your favor, hallelujah, to get you on the road to victory, get your life in the winning, you know, column, get it out of debt and into victory, hallelujah. This is God's will. This is what God wants to do. This is why Jesus came. Jesus came, lived, died, rose again, so that your life could be better, not that it could be worse. He did it so you could win. He rose from the dead, conquered hell, death, and the grave, so you could be a victor and you could be triumphant in life. Now you kick depression out of your house. You knock it out of your house as far as you can knock it. You throw it as far as you can throw it, but don't you pet it. Don't you grab it. Don't you hold on to it. Don't you accept it. Don't you receive it. You were not born again in Christ Jesus to be depressed. You were not born again to be a loser. You were born again to win. You were born again. You were designed by God Almighty to win, to go over, to succeed. And the world programs us to fail. God doesn't. The world does. Are you out there? We hear it every time we turn around. Everybody's in agreement with going under. Everybody's in agreement with having it rough and not making it, and not having joy, and not having peace, and not having victory. But see, God designed us, and we were born by the power of the Holy Ghost to win and to succeed. Designed to win, programmed to fail. Well, I'm saying let's just change the program. Let's replace the program the world's offering us with God's program. Let's throw away that tape measure and grab His. Woo! Romans 8. Is helping you? Simple scriptures. Scriptures you know. You've heard me quote them. You quoted them. Well, we need to chew on them. We need to digest them. We've probably heard, you know, a lot of these we've probably swallowed, but we didn't take time to chew, and so we didn't digest them. Didn't you learn to chew your food when you grow up? I used to choke on bananas when I was a kid. I love bananas. And I eat them so fast. You know, I'd have four or five in before Mama could even stop me. And then I'm almost throwing up over here choking because I've got so much. You ever seen a little kid just stuff it in there, you know? And that's sometimes we do that. I think with God's Word, we're going, yeah, 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 oh, I like it, just eat it. But we don't stop, really, and chew on it, you know, and say, wait a minute, okay, that's good, I like that. Well, you know, I had something happen to me today. What does that mean? How can I apply that? What does that have to do with just what I had happen today? Well, I think it means I got the victory. Hello? Now, that insurance company told me there wasn't any way. But you know what? I mean, that's not what this says. Are you out there? I just watched the news and they said, you know, this or that. But you know, that's not what God says. That's not what God says. Now, see, that's being real now. That's being very real with the Word. That's being Christian 24/7. That's applying the Word to our situation, which is what God wants us to do. No question. And I think that's why we lose, because we don't do that. We believe it in a general way, but we don't always take it very specifically and very personally. And God's wanting us to do that. Oh, hallelujah. Romans 8, notice what it says. 8:37, you know it. In fact, if we had time, we could read that back up. And he talks about persecution. He talks about people, you know, in this case, many of them were slain and killed and so on and so forth, and led like sheep to the slaughter and tortured and so on and so forth. We don't really go through that. We have somebody on the job makes fun of us because we're a Christian, and then we want to quit the job and go in a fetal position and cry for 3 days. But they were actually killed and slaughtered and tortured, and we got to put up with some knucklehead that just doesn't like the fact that we bring a Bible to work or something, you know. Okay, are you out there? I'm not saying it doesn't affect us, but I think we make too much of this. Thou protestest too much. If you look at Paul, he went through a whole lot more than somebody making fun of him about being a Christian. If you go into this thing knowing that somebody's going to make fun of you, no big deal. When it happens, you go, yeah, I knew that happened. Jesus said that happened. Those that live godly, they that live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution, is what Paul said. I realize that if I make this stand, I'm going to suffer some persecution. I'm willing to take that. I think it's worth it. I'll wear that badge. And so when they do, it doesn't hurt you, see, because you know, if they don't know God and they don't know the Lord and they hate God, then they're not going to like you either. But there's always someone out there that's just on the edge, on the verge, just waiting to hear something about the Lord. And you might be the catalyst. You might be the who God uses. That's worth taking a little persecution. That's worth it to me. You know, I was thinking about my dad and that generation, as it were. Of course, my dad, you know, just passed away. He never complained. I wish he knew some of the things that I'm teaching here. But didn't go to a church quite like this. He knew the Lord. He was a Christian. I had lots of talks with him. But I always respected and honored this about him and kind of that generation, really. You know, he expected life to be tough. Yeah. And so it wasn't really shocked by it when it was. Yeah. Hello. Didn't feel like he was unduly, unfairly singled out when things got bad. Didn't pout and cry about it. Didn't whine and moan about it. You know, this is a fallen world. That's the way it is. I think we raised a generation that feel like everything's unfair. And every one of us feel like we deserve more. Well, I believe we do in God, but I believe in this world there's going to be opposition, and you just need to understand that's the way it is. You can't quit every time someone makes fun of you and quit serving God every time you have a bad day. Are you out there? So in one sense, I'm not believing for that to happen, but I do expect in some sense to have opposition. I expect there will be tough days. I expect there will be rough edges and there will be bumps and bruises. And like that football coach told those guys that came to try out, he said, if you don't mind getting knocked down and you don't mind getting bruised and you don't mind getting hit and you don't mind getting up sore tomorrow morning, come on, play the game. We'll have some fun. Are you out there? But there's going to be some bruises, that's just it. That's part of the game. Now, having said that, we don't forget who we are. We don't forget what we're doing. We don't forget we can beat this thing. We don't forget that He already beat it for us. Amen. And if we'll just keep standing, we'll keep coming. That's the motto of the Texas Rangers. Nobody can stop a man that's in the right and that keeps on a coming. That's the Texas Ranger motto. How can you stop us? Nobody can. If we keep coming, they can't. If God be for us, who be against us? So we just keep coming. We keep coming, although there's persecution, although there's, you know, there's rough edges. But, you know we win. And we'll win this deal. We may not win it today. It may be tomorrow, maybe next week. Doesn't matter. In the spirit, we already won this deal. Amen. We're going to see it happen. We're going to see it come to pass. Care whether you're having back problem. I don't care what you have. Your hands may shake like this, but don't you quit. Because there'll come a day where they'll stop shaking. Right. Isn't that right, Frank? I mean, there'll be a day. There'll be a day if you do not quit and you do everything you know to do and you keep believing, keep standing on the Word, and you do everything you know in your power to do and you believe God to do what you can't do, hallelujah, that day's coming because God cannot lie.
Glory, hallelujah.
Don't throw the towel in. Don't quit. He gives you the victory. He causes you to triumph. And Romans 8:37 says, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Man, that means something. See, when we talk about Jesus, we're talking about victory. We're talking about Jesus Christ and all He did. That really translates out on a practical level, comes down to, pragmatically, to use a big word, comes down to you winning. Don't remove yourself from this. Don't separate yourself from this death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. This conquering of hell, death, and the grave. This getting the keys of hell and death from the devil and winning the victory. Don't you separate yourself from that, because He did that for you, and that's why He did it. And you and I have the victory because He arose victorious. and we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. And God always leads us to triumph in Christ, and we had the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Hallelujah. Now you may say it's all about Jesus in one sense. Yes, I agree that He is the star of this show and the center of all we teach and preach. He is what Christianity is all about. Without Him, there is no Christianity. But if you heard Him talk, He would say, and rightly so, it is about Him. Okay, but if you heard Him talk, He'd say, it's all about you. You are why I came. You are why I died. You are why I rose again. You are why I took those stripes on my back. You are. I didn't need healing. I didn't need to be saved. I didn't need to be forgiven. You did. I won this victory for you. Wow. That's the scripture. That's what the Bible says. And I think we forget that. Sometimes, you know, in reverence for God, and rightly so, we should reverence Him. In honor of God, and rightly so, we don't want to talk too much about us. But really, it was for us that He did what He did. And it's okay if we're bragging on Him and we're saying we have what we have through Him because of Him in His name. Because we're really not bragging on us, we're bragging on Him. But we're implementing, we're receiving, and we're benefiting, and we're accepting what He made available. Why would you go buy a ticket when someone already bought you a ticket? Can you imagine Christmas time come around, I get, you know, well, my grandchildren, because my kids are all too big, but if I got one of my grandsons, you know, a bicycle or motorcycle or, you know, that is not going to happen. But anyway, just as a matter of example, if I got him a motorcycle and I said, hey, Dylan, or hey, Reese, or Trenton, Papa got you a motorcycle, brand new, shiny motorcycle. Woo! Man, look at the chrome on that thing. I got it paid for, it's yours. And they go, Papa, I just couldn't take that. I'd say, yeah, Papa would go like this, womp, take off. But anyway, that would hurt me. Wouldn't it hurt you if you as a parent, maybe you spent your money on a bicycle and, you know, you saved the money to go pick it out and talk to him and figured out what he wanted. You know, he didn't know you were going to do it. You get this nice, shiny bicycle and they say, oh, no, I couldn't do that. Well, that just costs way too much money. There's kids that don't have bicycles. I'm willing to walk. Are you out there? You know, we do that all the time with God. And we think we're being pious and holy. And God's paid the price. He's already paid the price. Went to great lengths in some cases so you could make it. And you're just going to go under? Why would you want to go under? He did all He did so you could go over. Woo! Let's don't insult God. I'm not going to go pick that chicken up tomorrow. I'm eating stir-fried baked potato and I'm eating a salad. My mama's going to fix it. But see, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Through Him, there it is. He did it. Let's take advantage of it. Well, that's not being selfish. If He didn't think we needed it, He wouldn't have done it. And truth be known, a lot of these things you couldn't have paid for anyway. You didn't have the kind of money you need to make it. You couldn't have gone over without Him, so He did it for you because He loved you that much. Take advantage of it, amen? 1 John 5, turn there real quick. We'll just go over this verse real quick. Maybe one more. I don't know when I started, but I'll let you out at 8:30. How's that sound? That's just about 3 minutes. And you believe that, don't you? Yeah. 1 John 5:4 says, 1 John 5:4. In fact, the first verse says, whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. How many of you believe Jesus is the Christ? Well, you are born of God, right? Okay, so don't question it. You don't have to wonder about that. You really believe Jesus is the Christ, you're born of God. So you can say that. You can say, I am born of God. I believe Jesus is the Christ. Fourth verse says, whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. Oh, wait a minute. Let's connect the dots. If I am born of God because I do believe Jesus is the Christ, and whatever's born of God overcomes the world, isn't that what it says? Then I overcome the world. So what are you doing letting the world overcome you? What are you doing letting this day you went through rob you joy, steal your peace, steal your incentive, your motivation, this crisis, this tragedy, this battle, this opposition, whatever happened? Why would you let that steal from you when you were born of God to overcome the world? We think we're born in the world to be overcome by it. No, we're born here to overcome it. We're born of God. And he says, whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Hallelujah. Don't quit believing, because that's your victory. Believing these things we're looking at here, these scriptures, putting our faith in these scriptures activates them. It causes the victory to come. Believing is our victory. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. And he repeats it. He says, who is he who overcomes the world? He that believes that Jesus is the Son of God. That's you and me. See, I'm not just saved going to heaven. I am born of God to overcome the world. I was born to have victory. I was born to win. I was born to triumph. And I am more than a conqueror through him that loved me. And life is not supposed to win over me. This crisis is not supposed to beat me. I'm supposed to beat it. This challenge is not supposed to take me down. I'm supposed to take it down. With the Bible, with the Word of God, with the name of Jesus. In fact, ultimately, what the Bible says about us, Revelation 1, we'll close this out. Revelation 1. Does this help you? I hadn't said a thing tonight, y'all don't know. Probably not a scripture I've gone over, you don't know, couldn't quote. Nothing I've really said. But sometimes we just need to be reminded. We need to be stirred. Amen? Like James Bond, stirred, not shaken. Well, that really is pretty good. Don't let the world shake you. Let it stir you up. Stir you up to believe. Stir you up to stand on the Word. I'll take my life stirred, not shaken. Thank you. Revelation 1, 5 and 6. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him the glory be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. What has he actually done to us? He saved us, washed us in his blood, in his own blood, his precious blood. We've been redeemed not with corruptible things, not with gold, silver, not with wood or stone, but with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has saved us. Hallelujah. Why? To what intent? What purpose? What end? What did he do here? He says, and he has made us kings and priests to God. See, don't you? You are not a nobody. You're not a loser. You're not a victim. You are a victor. You are a king. You are a priest. That's what God says. Now, you can argue with God if you want to, but I'm just going to believe it. You can differ from him. You can say you don't believe that, but I don't think you're going to win that argument. God knows what he's saying, and it's high time we find out and we believe what he says and we start living like what he says is true. Amen? And start saying that we have the victory, that we're victorious, that we're triumphant, that we're more than conquerors, that we're world overcomers, that we're kings unto God and priests unto God. That'll make you hold your head high, won't it? That'll give you a little dignity. That'll give you some spring in your step. That'll give you some purpose and a reason to go another day. Hallelujah. Get in the Word. Find out what God says. You're going to find some good things, staggering things in there, overwhelming, unimaginable, beyond your greatest thoughts, dreams. But it's still true.